You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
There you go. Welcome to our worship service, the third Sunday in Lent. And of course, we have our midweek Wednesday night meals, 5:30, and a service at 6:30. So hope you can attend. Let me introduce our hymns for today. We're still following Divine Service Setting 4, beginning on page 203. Opening hymn is 609, Jesus Sinner Doth Receive. The hymn of the day is 824, May God Bestow on Us His Grace. During distribution, we'll sing 621, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence. 696, O God, My Faithful God. 761, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Closing hymn 918, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer. We will include in this morning's prayer Carol Gale's mother, Anna Thomas, and then also a reminder, tonight we have our youth group. Youth will be meeting at St. Matthew's 6 o'clock tonight for the youth. We don't check for age, so any of you feel youthful are welcome to attend. So, all right, let's begin with our opening hymn, 609, Jesus Sinner Doth Receive. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered here to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We turn to the yellow insert and sing together the introit. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit. One God, now and forever. Amen. Old Testament reading for this third Sunday in Lent is from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 33. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. And you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus have you said, surely your transgressions and your sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? And you, son of man, say to your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him when he transgresses, and as for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall by it when he turns from his wickedness. And the righteous shall not be able to live by his righteousness when he sins. Though I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, yet if he trusts in his righteousness and does injustice, none of his righteous deeds shall be remembered. But in his injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, though I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, yet if he turns from his sin and does what is just and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has taken by robbery, and walks in the statutes of life, not doing injustice, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right. He shall surely live. Yet your people say, the way of the Lord is not just, when it is their own way that is not just. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. And the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he shall live by them. Yet you say the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to his ways. This is the word of the Lord. We sing together the gradual on the yellow insert. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual rock, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, and we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand in honor of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. There were some present at that very time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then, if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the gospel of the Lord. Together we confess our faith as written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So Jesus' parable leaves a cliffhanger. It says if it should bear fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down. Since the parable ends there, we're left wondering what's going to happen. Will the fig tree bear fruit or not? In other words, it's going to be allowed to live or is it going to be cut down? You know, tune in next year for this dramatic conclusion. But it's not looking good for the fig tree. We're told that the master of the vineyard has been looking for fruit for 3 years. Nothing yet. And the hearers at that time, they'd understand that this tree has been around for more than enough time to bear fruit. The tree would first have to grow 3 years, then according to Levitical law, fruit from the next 3 years would be forbidden, and fruit from the following year would be holy, an offering of praise to the Lord. So the next year, the seventh year since planting, the master could start looking for fruit. Now in the parable, it's been 3 more years and still no fruit. 9 years after planting a fruit tree to grow fruit, there's no fruit. What's the master supposed to do? The tree is taking up valuable space, fertile soil, and his vineyard. And what would you do? And what's Jesus telling us in the parable? The conversation that led to this parable started when some people told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." When the people heard about, you know, what had happened, Pilate, you know, going into the temple area, this is unholy, and sacrificing people while they're making Passover sacrifices and mingling their blood, they're outraged. You know, it's like, did you hear what Pilate did? Well, Jesus doesn't say anything about the Galileans who were killed. He doesn't say whether they were good or bad. He doesn't say whether they deserved this horrible death or not. But he does address the crowd directly. You're concerned about their judgment. What about your judgment? Today, there are many reports of violent, tragic, horrible deaths in the news. There are reports of civilians killed in acts of war and terrorism around the world. There are reports of acts of violence and abuse in our country. And when we hear of senseless acts of violence against defenseless people, abusive treatment of vulnerable people, it makes us angry and outraged. But our righteous anger, our outrage, they don't make us righteous. We have our own wicked and evil nature, our own sinful flesh that we fight against. We participate in the struggle that the Apostle Paul speaks of in his letter to the church in Rome. He says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." We're in the same boat. And also, if we do not suffer from violence or abuse, doesn't mean that we're innocent. We're not. As John says in his first letter, if we say we have not sinned, we make him, God, a liar, and his word is not in us. And we justly deserve the wages of sin, which is death. The Apostle Paul says, death spread to all men because all sinned. And when a person suffers from a horrible death, that doesn't mean that they were a worse sinner than you or me. To those who asked Jesus about the horrible death of those whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices, Jesus says, "Unless you repent, you'll likewise perish." And this is a strong enough point in and of itself, but Jesus has more. So now he shifts this cruel act in Galilee to a recent accident that was in their news. He says, or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Accidents happen in this fallen world because it's fallen, and you're part of this fallen world. You've contributed to the mess that we live in. When accidents happen, it's a reminder of the coming judgment. Accident happens, you say, you repent. You turn from your sins. Okay, so now we get to the cliffhanger. After Jesus calls these people to repentance, he tells them a parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And he answered him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. So in this parable, mercy and judgment are given voices. Judgment says, cut it down. Mercy says, give it more time. I'll help it. So there is a tension within God who is both merciful and just. And the hearers at the time, when they heard this parable, it very well could have brought to mind a parable from Isaiah about the vineyard of the Lord that the Lord destroyed. From Isaiah 5. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. He looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed, for righteousness, but behold, an outcry. The hearers would know from Isaiah, that this is how the Lord responds when he doesn't find the fruit he's looking for. And they know this is just. He's done all he can for his beloved vineyard. So when there's no good fruit, it's over. The vineyard's to be destroyed. And the hearers know that the Lord is talking about the people of Israel, not a vineyard. In the parable Jesus tells, it's concern for the vineyard that leads the master to say about the tree, cut it down. The tree took up space and nutrients. The master waited long beyond the expected time for fruit bearing. He's going to preserve the health of the vineyard by cutting down the fruitless tree. But in this parable, the vine dresser steps in and answered him, sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. The voice of mercy. He provides outside help. The tree can't dig around itself. The tree can't put manure around itself. Judgment threatens. If there's no response, judgment is the only option. Because of the master's love for the vineyard. So how will this end for the tree? You know, in Jesus' parable, time will tell. And Jesus tells this parable, because he wants the hearers to repent. God loves the community of faith. Israel had been God's chosen people for hundreds of years. He's been expecting fruit of righteousness in keeping with repentance and with faith. Instead, Israel had responded with sin against God every day, just as every one of us does. We're no better. We non-Jews, we're not even part of the original vineyard. And sinners as we are, we deserve to be cut down. But God in his mercy has stepped in. Jesus says, forgive them. Wait a while. Let me do what I can for them so that they bear fruit. Jesus comes to us through his word, through his holy supper. He digs around your roots. He nurtures you. So we remain in him. We regularly gather together around his word and sacraments. And he nurtures and he strengthens us. He cares for us. He's our vine dresser. But Jesus did even more than that. Amazingly, Jesus became the fig tree. The master of the vineyard, let alone the fig tree, on the cross, God, let alone his son, forsook him on the cross. Jesus became sin for us. Jesus took on the wrath and the judgment that we rightly deserve. Because Jesus became the fig tree in our place and suffered in our place what the barren tree deserved, we've been spared removal from God's vineyard. To all those who do repent, Jesus promises life. In the divine service, we confess our sins, that we deserve God's punishment, his temporal and his eternal punishment. On our own, we're headed for destruction. We also express our sorrow and sincere repentance of these sins. We stop and turn to the Lord. In God's mercy, for the sake of Jesus Christ, we're not cut off and removed. Jesus comes to us in his word and his sacrament. He forgives and he restores us. We're given life, full of his spirit, producing fruit. We know how the cliffhanger ends for those who are in Christ. Our true life is in Jesus, and he continues to help us. Through our baptism, we daily die to ourselves, and we are made new in Christ. When we hear of evil or tragedy, we're reminded of God's justice and the judgment we deserve. And when we're spared, we remember God's mercy. As it says in our verse of the week, the Lord is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. We repent. We turn to Jesus, and through hearing his word, our faith in him and our love for others is strengthened, forgiven by God, and given new hope. We can forgive others, and we could give others another chance. And through the peace that Christ gives, we can live at peace with one another. And by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, our lives bear fruits of repentance and good works to the glory of God. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, you order and number our days according to your wisdom. Give us repentant hearts, lest we perish with this world of violence and suffering. Let us hold fast to Christ for life and salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, you take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but desire that they turn from evil and live. Give pastors courage to warn of sin and death. Give all Christians strength to defend that message. Turn sinners to life by the proclamation of Christ, who delivers from all unrighteousness. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, guard your people against sexual immorality. Grant that our homes would be havens of godly instruction and chastity, and fill marriages with fidelity and love. Lord, in your mercy, God of all, you established justice, not through the desires of sinners, but by your law, which is for all. Enlighten the authorities of this and every nation, that they might rule justly for true good. Lord, in your mercy. Faithful God, protect us when we are tempted. Guard us especially from pride that justifies sin, and from doubting that you provide the way of escape. Strengthen us with penitent hearts to endure until you deliver us. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, remember your people who cry to you for mercy in a world where towers fall and sinners work evil. Deliver those in need of healing and comfort, especially Shirley, Fred, Anita, Dan, Joanne, Lois, Louis, Mary, Harold, Richard, Marlis, Tim, Rick, Greg, Missy, Lacey, Marlene, Kathy, Doris, Mark, Diane, Kara, Leah, Erno, Anna, Jeff, Ethel, and Cookie, and strengthen them to look to you for help in their time of affliction. Lord, in your mercy. God of compassion, through the abundance of your steadfast love, you gather us into your house and to your supper. Give all who commune this day a holy fear of your wrath and faith in your promises, that they would receive Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of life, you have brought us into your vineyard and appointed us to bear good fruit. Receive our thanks for your patience, and grant that we should show your love and grace in all that we say and do through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. You may be seated as the offering is collected. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given us your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. At your command, Abraham prepared to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice on the mountain, yet in mercy you provided a ram as a substitute. We give you thanks that on Calvary you spared not your only son, but sent him to offer his life as a ransom for many. As we eat and drink his body and blood, grant us, like Abraham our father, to trust in your promise now fulfilled in Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ, true Lamb of God, you take the sin of the world away. O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God,
thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.